For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. That's SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators of Maui Nui Venison. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation. For folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful, you can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNui. Venison.com and use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order.
From Meat Eaters World News Headquarters in Bozeman, Montana, this is Cal's Week in Review with Ryan Cal Callahan. Now, here's Cal.
All right, everybody. This week, Cal's Week in Review, our special drop. We have Patrick Berry, CEO of BHA, and Jordan Sillars. Jordan Sillars has been working on a bunch of interesting things, but he's taking time out of his busy schedule to join us here on this podcast because, you know, he orchestrates this entire shooting match most of the time. So
happy to do it. Yeah,
good. Absolutely. Good. That's the right answer.
Yeah.
But it, you know, we cover a lot of important stuff, so it's fulfilling work, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely, very fulfilling. Love my coworkers. It's great.
Good. Did you get paid to say that?
I do, literally.
That's great. Well, yeah, it is. If you are listening to this the day it drops, it is Thursday, and it's a very special Thursday because it's the night of the field to table dinner in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the leading big event, as close as the BHA family gets to a big formal dinner at Rendezvous, our national meeting. So if you're listening to this, come on down and I'll see you at Rendezvous Friday night, where we have live podcast with Hal Herring. We have a meat eater trivia event hosted by Randall Williams. I'll be there. Ronnie Bame will be there. Mark Kenyon will be there. And you can put your noggin up against ours and we can see who wins the most stuff. I know the hardworking Josh Mills has a ton of awesome prizes and giveaways lined up for folks who attend that event Friday night. And then Saturday, we have all sorts of seminars and ways for folks to understand what is happening with BHA, how you can get involved, how you can support all these initiatives that we have going on. But to not delay this any further, because it is literally his ship, Patrick Berry, the new CEO, and I'd say new, you got to take that with a grain of salt. In the history of the organization, Patrick is the new CEO, but he's been at the helm since this winter. And we're all dying to learn what he has going on with this national organization that is Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. So without further ado, Patrick Berry, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get to be here?
Well, I've had a pretty interesting career so far, and I thought it would make it even more interesting. Got a lot of experience in conservation field, was a legislative and policy director for a statewide organization. A lot of fundraising experience, nonprofit management, all that good stuff. I know one job I've had that the BHA faithful seem to be pretty excited about is I was formerly the director of Vermont's Fish and Wildlife Agency. So, you know, all the biologists, hunter ed, fish culture stations, we had fish and wildlife law enforcement within department too. So, you know, a lot of hopefully relevant, good experience to take over for this next leg of the journey at BHA.
Heck yeah. And what have you been doing with BHA? Did you jump in and change everything around? Are we a different organization now? What can people expect?
That's a really good question. I'll start by saying, you know, while it may seem like fairly quiet on the outside, it's been like a beehive of activity on the inside of BHA. So been really, really focused on getting the organization's house in order. You know, Lantani did an amazing job of getting the organization from a small little, you know, organization to meteoric growth and, you know, kind of grew faster than it could mature in a lot of ways. So just getting the organization in a place where we're planning for, you know, where we want to be at 5 years from now and 10 years from now. So it's been incredibly busy, but I like where we're at. I like the foundation that we've got laid right now and to support all the things that come next. As far as the BHA that people know and love, it's important, I know, for a lot of people to hear that we are very committed and I am very committed to the same core mission, the same focus, the same constituents of folks that love to hunt and fish, care deeply about conservation, and recognize the importance of public lands, waters, and wildlife. I mean, not everybody has the opportunity to necessarily travel someplace or have access to private land, and they're certainly not making any more real estate the last I checked. So it's an incredibly valuable asset and valuable resource that is worth fighting for and worth protecting for future generations of folks that love to hunt, fish, and get outside in pretty wild places.
And what is there anything particular that's in the crosshairs of BHA right now? What would be the elevator pitch if somebody said, I don't know anything about BHA, why would I be a member?
First of all, it's the only organization that is truly focused on these public assets and these public resources we have. And listen, there are a lot of fantastic partner organizations that we have that definitely touch on that. They work hand in hand with us and us and them. But I think what makes BHA distinctive is the attraction of and the idea of spending your time hunting and fishing, you know, in wild places. And, you know, I know as my predecessor said, you know, backcountry is a state of mind. And while I think we often view that backcountry, that wild experience as being distinctive to the Intermountain West and Alaska and those big landscapes, it's where you find it. And, you know, I think when you think outside of that, that Rocky Mountain region in Alaska, you know, what might come to mind could be, you know, the Boundary Waters or, you know, from the waters perspective, the Everglades, you know, but it could also be the salt marshes off of Cape Cod or the Pine Barrens of New Jersey or a lot of different places that where people love to go and enjoy themselves in the outdoors. In addition to that, I think is an attractive part of the organization is the fact that whatever critter you like to go after, you're in the family. So if you only squirrel hunt and there's another guy in your chapter who only likes to steelhead fish, you're all in BHA and you're all part of this community that we have. So, you know, I think that those are factors. Ideologically, it is apolitical, right down the center. We don't get involved in politics at all. I think that's definitely attractive in a much more divisive society these days. And our members skew a lot younger. You know, they're, 70% of the members are under the age of 45. And so, you know, we've got a lot of really you know, good young folks that add energy to the efforts that we take up across the country and parts of North America.
You got a puppy over there?
Well, we got five dogs, and so the one puppy is creating chaos, barking at the other. Well, three of them are out here right now, so I just try to get them distracted. But I figured that would add a little bit of flavor to the podcast.
It's hard to match that puppy energy when even you're a two-year-old dog, you know?
Yeah, and he's 6 months old, and he's pretty saucy, so he's not afraid to cause complete chaos whenever the urge strikes him.
And on that topic, Patrick, your background as it relates to hunting, you're one of these folks that has really gotten in deep on the bird hunting, bird dog side of things.
Yeah, you know, I mean, after I left the my job running Fish and Wildlife Department, you know, I love upland bird hunting, and coincidentally, I mean, there's some really great places that are up in the mountains around where I live for grouse and woodcock, and just magical way to get away. And I thought, you know, I'd love to try to train these dogs to a much higher level. And so that's what I did. And certainly have gotten into that a lot. And I would tell you that a well-trained field trial dog makes a hunting dog, and a dog that hunts makes a better field trial dog. So they go hand in hand big time, in my opinion. But, there's other things you got to do during different times of year. So, I love to waterfowl hunt, spend as much time as I can during turkey season out there. I was a fishing guide for a heck of a long time too. So Jordan and I were just talking about that. I mean, there are generalists, and then there are folks that love to do something specific. And I would say I definitely am drawn more to the upland bird hunting, whether it's the grouse and woodcock tangles of the Northeast, or spent a fair amount of time in the Midwest, hunting for wild pheasants and quail, and even a few other places beyond that. So yeah, that's my thing, Cal.
Anybody who gets that bird dog, that very first bird dog, and watches those lights turn on as all of a sudden they're on their first bird and they hear their first shotgun go off, and it's incredibly addicting, I'll tell you that.
It is, and I honestly think too that folks, that hunting is not easy a lot of times. I think you guys know that. Your listeners certainly know that. And when you have to work a little bit harder for something, or something that takes you a longer time to pull together, there's a lot greater reward. And when you spend time, grinding away, training your own dog, screwing up, backing up, trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube, at the same time, you're trying to find really good spots to get out there. And I mean, my goodness, like trying to shoot a rough grouse in early season with leaves on the trees you can go through a case of shells pretty quickly in short order. But when you finally put all that work in, and man, you put a bird on the ground and the dog brings it to hand so beautifully, the reward, it never gets old, Cal. I just love it.
I hear you. So to maximize our time here, we should probably talk about some of the tough stuff. We're in these election cycles that are coming up. We're going to see either at the state or the federal level some changing of the guard one way or another. Where are we at? And from a BHA perspective, what are we looking forward to? What should we be preparing ourselves for, like the good and the bad?
I think there's one topic that covers both the good and the bad at the same time, Cal. And that's something I know you and I have talked about. And, there's these increasing challenges to science-based wildlife management. And, when you talk about why the science matters, well, hunters are often really important partners in conservation, helping to manage certain wildlife populations to maintain an ecological balance. And that supports the natural systems where a diverse assemblage of wildlife species can thrive. And there, boy, just, a lot of states now we're seeing efforts where that focus on sound scientific management that's been successful for over a century is getting threatened in a lot of different ways. And, you know, in some cases, it's animal rights activists and anti-hunters trying to change things and manage things, I suppose, from a more emotional level. In other places, it's privatization or it's commoditization, you know, moving. I think, you know, in Kentucky, the legislature tried to move fish and wildlife into the ag department. Not terribly a good idea. So, you know, that's kind of the bad news. And you know, we don't really know how the election cycle might change how that's going. But I think the good news side of that is, you know, that all the while that BHA has been in a transition, certainly, you know, as I've been coming on board, man, our chapters and our members have been doing more than keeping the lights on. They have been focused on this issue, of course, with a lot of the other, you know, really important public land and water issues as well. And because BHA appeals to such a broad cross-section of outdoor enthusiasts, we've got an opportunity to really engage communities of non-hunters, right? I mean, you know, and sometimes it's not just the fact that, you know, like with Meat Eater, right? There's this real focus on the self-reliance of hunting and the fact that, you know, hunting is the most socially, ethically, and environmentally responsible way to put meat on your table. I mean, those are, you know, there's a different demographic where that certainly appeals to. But, you know, even the BHA pint nights are attractive, too. I mean, we don't have the banquet model like a lot of our, you know, peer organizations. And I, you know, I support them and they do fantastic work. But the cost of entry, if you're just interested, can be pretty high where, you know, if you've got $5 for a beer and you're really kind of curious what Backcountry Hunters Anglers is all about or what hunting is all about, it's pretty low cost to get in. So, you know, our ability to pull in these constituencies that are, you know, curious and listening, and they like a lot of what we do because they certainly support, you know, wild places and public lands, waters, and wildlife. Frankly, to help inform, engage, and galvanize communities around why science is so darn important in managing wildlife and why ballot box biology and other ways that people try to undermine all of this successful wildlife rehabilitation and restoration and management. It's just not a good idea.
And what, like how would folks get engaged on this issue, I guess?
Well, first of all, we need folks engaged on this issue because it is growing in magnitude. And, you know, BHA folks, man, they show up, right? They're there, they're engaged too. And if this is something that, you know, is of interest to the folks out there, we've got great resources on our website, backcountryhunters.org, where you can find information on your state chapter and how to contact them and how to get involved. And, you know, from that launching point, Cal, you can learn about what's going on. So, you know, it could be, you know, and this, like, take this particular issue, right? So I think a lot of folks and probably a lot of your listeners are aware of the battles being waged in Colorado right now. But, you know, in Kentucky, it's, you know, that commoditization issue. And in, you know, Kansas and Montana and other places, it's more of this move towards monetizing and privatizing wildlife. So, you know, folks can call, you know, the chapters, get in touch with those leaders, learn about which state issues around this, you know, public wildlife threats are most relevant, and get engaged pretty quickly. I mean, it's a very open, very welcoming community that's looking for folks, whether, you know, maybe you go fishing twice a year, man, you're in. Right. And maybe you could also try to see how many days of waterfowl season or how many, you know, days you're out there, you know, chasing deer. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Everybody's a part of the process.
It is, the value I see in BHA and a lot of other groups that are active is the fact that as a working individual, who likes to go outside and do things, it is so hard to keep up on what the heck is going on at home, even. So like Montana BHA, they are involved commenting on the elk management plan. They're involved commenting on the Crazy Mountain Land Exchange. They're involved commenting on privatization of wildlife or attempts, further attempts to do so in this state. BLM solar plan on public land, all of these issues. And it's very daunting as an individual to know that this stuff affects me, us, you, and will affect every person who goes out on public land, but every person who buys a hunting license down the road, you know, every session, every planning session is going to have that ripple effect impact. And it's, I understand why people don't want to be involved with this stuff at all, because it's a lot.
Well, I mean, listen, your hobbies are often your escape from a lot of the rest of the serious stuff in your life. And it, you know, I know for me, it's, I don't know of any other thing that I do, or I don't think about work or whatever other challenges I've got going on, right? I'm just focused on that. And so, you know, daunting is, you know, one thought that people might have, but they may just not want to deal with it at all. But man, you know, the world is run by people who show up. You've heard me say that, Cal. And if you care about this stuff, you got to get involved too. And, you know, what I like about BHA and what you pointed out is that strength at the state level. And so, I mean, one of the things that I've been really focused on during this transition is really leaning into support for those state chapters, so that if you've got a person that's interested and wants to get involved, you know, and they get in touch with their state chapter, they're going to get the information that they need to know what's going on in their state. And because, I mean, your Montana example is a great one. I mean, think about the diversity of issues affecting public lands, public wildlife, public waters, you know, in one state alone. And you know what? You barely scratch the surface for what's happening in Montana, just Montana alone. And that's the thing is, because the organization doesn't focus on one species, if there's a specific one of those issues that you mentioned that is compelling, well, heck, you can dive into that one, and the chapter will be delighted to have more people on board supporting it.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. We've all seen plenty of gadgets and fads come and go, but here's one product that stood the test of time. Seafoam motor treatment. Lots of hunters and anglers know that Seafoam helps engines run better and last longer. It's really simple. When you pour it in your gas tank, Seafoam cleans harmful fuel deposits that cause engine problems. I'm talking common stuff like hard starts, rough engine performance, or lost fuel economy. Seafoam is an easy way to prevent or overcome these problems. Just pour a can in your gas tank and let it clean your fuel system. You probably know someone who has used a can of Seafoam to get their truck or boat going again. I guarantee you've listened to them, because I use it, you know, regularly. People everywhere rely on Seafoam to keep their trucks, boats, and small engines running the way they should the entire season. Help your engine run better and last longer. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store, or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver, off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And as often is the case, those guys were onto something. because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co and make sure to use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MeatEater.
How is BHA affecting, how are they weighing in effectively, I should say, on, you know, kind of pick an issue?
Yep. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of ways you can get involved and you can get engaged. And I think when there's like, take a policy or legislative issue that comes up, right? You know, and we could talk about federal issues, but just talk about state issues for a minute, right? There are, again, partner and peer organizations that I love and support. And, you know, oftentimes they'll coordinate, you know, writing maybe a letter in opposition or in support of something, or, you know, making some phone calls or, you know, something like that. I think BHA is a Swiss Army knife, really. You know, like just take, for example, what happened in Kansas recently with the there was a bill basically to move towards privatizing a heck of a lot of the tags for deer hunting. And man, the Kansas BHA chapter guys, they took time off work and they went to the state house and they articulated their opposition to this bill and talked all about the public trust doctrine and the North American model of wildlife conservation and the impacts this bill would have. And that's direct engagement right there, Cal. Right. So there's a, you know, I would say a high level of investment way to get involved. And they were successful. And they basically were instrumental in helping stop that bill. So, you know, whether you sign on to a letter or write your own email or make a phone call or show up at a hearing or something like that, there's a whole bunch of ways you can get involved. And I do think it's pretty understood that, you know, our community is more ready and willing to show up than almost anybody else a lot of times. And, you know, again, we're fortunate to have really terrific partners that we work with. But there's this consistent theme of action that happens within BHA that if you look at it, it makes a huge difference in stopping bad stuff and helping good stuff move forward.
At the federal level, is it more about like lobbying and pointing to the size of the BHA membership and saying our membership base is this big, and this is what they want? Or how does it work above the state level?
So, well, both of those things are important at the state level and certainly at the federal level. I think at the federal level, what seems to matter as much as anything is not just identifying, you know, the size of our community, but, you know, there's a really good collaborative community of organizations that focus on conservation. A lot of them, you know, in the hunting and fishing space that collaborate really well together. And, you know, in fact, I was just talking to a colleague at TRCP, Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. They're not a membership organization, but man, they do a fantastic job of focusing on federal policy issues around hunting, fishing, conservation, you know, all of these public resources. And the value that they provide is the ability to create big coalitions. So, you know, Cal, instead of just saying, well, you know, it's this organization with this many members, you know, you may have 50 groups signed on, right? And then you start to do the math and then, yeah, then that becomes an example of some serious grassroots firepower and you know, certainly represents enough people where elected officials, man, they got to pay attention. And I'll just add one thing. If I could back up to the state level too, Cal, You know, one thing that I is fascinates me and probably always will is how BHA has the ability to be the point of the spear on some of these issues, like really not afraid to take a hardline position, and yet has a reputation for being an honest broker and a collaborator and an organization that you can really work with when it matters. And, you know, there are some, you know, recent examples of that, you know, that have come up. And I'll just tell you a quick story, too. I enjoyed a breakfast with the head of the Arkansas Fish and Game Department about a month ago, and, you know, shared with me his feeling that, you know, boy, the BHA chapter leaders have just set the standard for how an organization with an interest in wildlife can so effectively collaborate and partner with the state Fish and Wildlife Agency. And that's including, you know, the ability to disagree without being too disagreeable. That's the kind of stuff that matters. So I value that BHA is not afraid to take a hard position and yet also has the ability to be part of a process for finding solutions. I think it's a very distinctive quality of our advocacy efforts.
Yeah, darn right. That is something that we see all the time. And it's this stigma of, well, if you don't agree on everything, you can't hang out together.
Right. You know?
Where it's like the best conversations are with those that have opposing viewpoints when you're working to try to put something together, right?
Yeah. Well, to that point, too, I mean, we are all on the same team here, even if we disagree. And we certainly, you know, I don't think my wife and I would be together if we had to agree on absolutely everything. But man, we're on the same team and we agree on enough stuff to make it work. And I'll be honest, I mean, that's a growing concern is just, you know, with the changes in demographics across this country and there are, you know, not as many people who are even in touch with being, you know, outside in cool places. It's more important than ever that I think organizations that focus on outdoor recreation broadly, hunting and fishing and conservation, certainly find a way to work together. And man, I see it all the time. It's like there's a circular firing squad of sportsmen's groups. And sometimes, and, you know, all you got to do is just take a look at any social media post by almost any organization. Somewhere along the way, somebody is going to take a shot at whatever organization, either how they function, how they operate, the issue itself. And it's, you know, the person making the comment is supposed to be part of the team. Well, really, you know, you can just respectfully disagree and choose not to engage on that issue. So I hope that that changes, although, man, as divided as things are these days, I know that's going to be a tough one. And again, I really do think that is a really another attractive quality to the BHA community is that, you know, everybody's welcome. You don't have to agree on stuff. I mean, you know, you hear stories all the time of BHA pint nights where folks from as far opposite ends of the ideological spectrum as possible hanging out, having a beer, talking about how much they love being outside hunting, fishing and enjoying, you know, their time away from work.
This is going to be your first rendezvous.
Yes, right? Sir. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your expectations?
Well, first of all, everywhere I go and everybody I talk to in BHA says the same thing. And I don't know if it was before I came on board, this was a line that you had to learn as a part of being a BHA member. But no matter where they live, what they hunt, age, gender, whatever, they all say the same thing. I found my people. They love this community because they're, you know, they care about conservation and low hunting and fishing. They can't be stereotyped. They're not, you know, sort of out on, you know, what people view as these divided extremes in a lot of ways. And they enjoy hanging out with one another. And when people talk about how they found their people, man, they can't wait to get to rendezvous to see their people, even if they live on the farthest, you know, points of the country or the continent. I'm just excited to see that in action. people are just, they just can't wait. And I mean, I really hope that a lot of folks that, you know, live in Minnesota, because look, Minnesota is like, it's one of those states that has an exceptional outdoor culture, hunting and fishing and outdoor recreation. And there's incredible resources there. So, you know, there's a heck of a lot of sportsmen and women in the area. And, you know, the reality is like April is not the best time of year to enjoy a lot of those things. So, you know, I hope that there are a lot of, you know, Minnesotans that maybe they're not BHA members, but they've heard of the organization. They've heard about Rendezvous. They want to see what it's all about, and that they're excited to show up for the big gathering.
Darn right. And yeah, we'll have some great, I know we'll be talking about renewable energy on public lands. And I know we'll be talking about boundary waters and corner crossing and a bunch of issues that BHA partakes in. Great opportunity for folks to learn more about the organization. And like you said, be in a room with other folks that are there for the same purpose, right? Taking valuable personal time to learn more, learn how to get involved, and learn how to take action.
Well, I think that's one of the huge benefits of Rendezvous, right? So you've got a bunch of fun stuff, right? Turkey calling contest, you know, you got the field to table dinner, a lot of kids activities. Cal, you've got your own seminar, how to use the whole animal, which is awesome, and people are going to love that stuff. But there's also the opportunity to learn about some of these important issues. And, you know, we've added two special seminars this year on these threats to public wildlife issues. And we've got some real leaders on that. We've got Gaspar Perricone from Colorado, who's been involved in these issues for a long time and really well-respected guy, to talk about what you can do in your state when you're seeing some of these issues cropping up, or what you could even do, you know, absent that. But also we've got John Gassett, who was a former Fish and Wildlife Director from the state of Kentucky and is now with the Wildlife Management Institute. And, you know, he's just a hoot, man. I think folks are really going to enjoy his seminar because he's not only incredibly knowledgeable, but he's a really funny guy. And he's just got this irreverence without being unprofessional that I think puts people at ease and makes it a more interesting topic, no matter what the heck he's talking about. So, yeah, you know, there's all the fun stuff mixed in there. And then, you know, some really important stuff, including some of the topics that you mentioned, Cal.
Well, I guess we're talking. It is Thursday. We've had an awesome kind of semi-formal night with some amazing chefs and wild food. And yeah, we got board meetings on Friday.
Oh yeah, there you go.
We'll shape the year for BHA tomorrow.
I'm pretty excited about the board meeting, man. There's a lot to catch up on. Like I said, man, we have been so busy as an organization, getting ready for, you know, BHA 2.0, if you will. And so there's a lot of stuff to catch up on, and it's a really strong board. And, you know, what I appreciate about our board is everybody is an active, enthusiastic, outdoors person who, you know, in their own way is a badass at hunting and fishing. And that's pretty cool because, you know, a lot of smart people and, have the ability to really connect with the mission and connect with the, our constituents and, you know, our members and, you know, the BHA community. So, you know, it's not your button down board. You know, I mean, Cal, do you even own a tie? Probably at least one.
Oh, I have two clip-ons, which I'm pretty
okay, good.
Of. And then one of the, you know, the ones that you have to YouTube to figure out how to wear.
Oh yeah, right. So you have at least something that's passable, but it's definitely more of the active user board. So, you know, it's like what was that? There's a steakhouse in Texas, or it's outside of Denver, Colorado. If you go in with a tie, they'll cut it off with a pair of scissors. And that, you know what, Cal, we actually might want to start to institute that as a rendezvous policy. If you show up at a tie, Ryan Callahan's going to cut that thing off with a pair of scissors. And if you put another one on, he may try to cut it off with a chainsaw. So that should be a good deterrent.
I love it. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's one of the coolest things about rendezvous for me is it is just so different. It's young, lots of young families. We've been watching a lot of these young families come up and mature over the years and popping kids out and still staying involved. And it's cool. It's a neat thing to be around. So
you can make it a priority. I remember when I was running Fish and Wildlife, man, my boys were young. And I told the governor when he appointed me, I'm like, just so you know, I'm going to hang out with these guys. I'm going to keep coaching their teams and I'm going to make sure I'm home for dinner. And then on the flip side, you know, when I was on the rubber chicken dinner circuit, going to banquets and that sort of thing or outdoor shows, I took those guys everywhere. So you can do it. And I love the fact that a lot of the young BHA parents are have the same idea in mind and they're excited and willing to take, you know, the little ones to rendezvous.
Darn right. Jordan, you got anything to add here?
We've talked a lot about kind of how BHA and the state chapters are involved in the legislature, involved in policy issues. But can you talk a little bit about the on-the-ground conservation work that if you join your chapter, you're going to get an opportunity to get involved in.
Man, I'm so glad you brought that up. And that's a real miss on my part, because that is something that our chapters love to do. Now, we do have some really important projects with some federal grant money in parts of the Intermountain West to focus on public land habitat restoration and sometimes just pulling fences. And so, you know, we'll get big groups of BHA volunteers that will, you know, go out there, work together, you know, pull a mile or two or five of old, outdated, antiquated barbed wire fence, you know, have a few beers, maybe listen to some music, hang out. I mean, it's a really good time and they're doing great work. And, you know, probably a longer conversation for another time. But, you know, the negative impacts of what happened with some of those outdated fences is pretty significant, especially, you know, you get deep snow on the ground and they got no purchase to jump over the fences. They get stuck on the barbed wire and you can see, you know, carcasses of deer and pronghorn and all kinds of critters, you know, lined up along the fence in the spring when the snow melts. And man, our community of people, they just love being part of that effort. But even beyond that, it's not even just the official, I'll put that in air quotes, stewardship projects we have. Most of our chapters do on the ground work and get involved. I mean, look, I was down, you know, at the Arkansas chapter's Black Bear Bonanza, which was a fantastic event. And, you know, it was great. Clay Newcomb did a live bear grease episode. There was about 1,500 people. You know, at this event. And at the end of the night, everybody in the leadership of the chapter was, you know, having a nice glass of whiskey and celebrating what a successful event it was. But before they left, they said, oh, hang on, guys. All right, we got to coordinate. We got to clean up this wildlife management area in this location. So, okay, hey, man, let's all pat ourselves on the back for this kick-ass event. But let's plan for getting together and making a difference, you know, on this piece of public land. It's right near where a lot of them live. And that happens all the time across the BHA community. And the reason I'm glad you brought that up, Jordan, is because, man, some people are allergic to legislatures and politics and stuff like that. But and they want to know that they can make a difference and do something that's more than just digging in on a policy issue. But, you know, getting together and making a difference on the ground, too. So, you know, I guarantee if you were to, and a lot, by the way, a lot of that info is on the website too. On the chapters will have that information of where they're going to meet up to have focus on some kind of specific conservation project, planning, cleanup, you know, whatever too. So, you know, folks that are interested, in getting involved and joining BHA will have the opportunity to take a look at that too.
Heck yeah. Well, just in the full disclosure, I am a national board member for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and I'm as critical of the organization as ever.
Yeah,
because I think that's part of the gig when you're a board member. So I have all my interest in keeping us on the straight and narrow and focused on the things that I have near and dear to my heart, which is if you're listening to this show, it's probably no guess that I like my public lands, my access to them, amongst my long list of critters as well. So thanks everybody so much for listening. Thank you so much, Patrick, for being on here. If you have any questions, please write in to ASKCAL. That's askcal@themeateater.com. Ask them. We'll get back to you. We'll get Patrick back on here. And if you're in that greater MSP Twin Cities area, come on down to Rendezvous and we'll see you Friday, Saturday.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Cal, and enjoyed hanging with you and Jordan.
Thank you.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. That's SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators of Maui Nui Venison. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation.
For folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful,
you can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNui Venison.com and use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order.